From Oxbow to Oslo, New York to New Westminster. We're global, baby. Covering what matters to you. Let us know in the comments right now. Welcome to another episode of The Rod Peterson Show.
Thank you very much, Rick Regan. Good morning, Canada. Welcome to The Rod Peterson Show. And a hearty hello to Canadian sports fans around the world. It is Tuesday, March the 31st. Or as I saw on Twitter yesterday, somebody said, it's March 275th. I'm the host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. How you doing, Dupes?
Doing well.
We're coming to you out of the bunker here in Western Canada, where the temperature's plunged a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Back down to around zero, as our American friends say. The rapidly expanding bunker, I might add. What the hell?
Well, expanding or, yeah, we're getting some stuff done.
Renovations. Do you want to put the camera on producer Clark and what's behind him, Jordan? If we don't mind, for those watching on Facebook Live today and soon to be Game Plus TV. Can you see that? Can you, that's a full, well, it's not a full wall. It's a real wall that's going up. So we're building a wall and Paul's paying for it.
He's going to pay for it.
The guys like that, yeah. Welcome. It's hour one of the program today. We've got our Elite Eight show topics coming up in moments. I'm excited about the program today because a guy that I've known for a very long time going to be with us, Derek Morris, longtime NHLer, former Regina Pat. Hockey fans will remember him. For sure, Calgary Flames fans. Well, he was in the NHL at 18, Darren.
Yeah.
First round pick. Derek Morris will be with us from Arizona. Is that where you got him from, Clark? I think he's in Arizona. I'm going to chat some NHL, what life's like amid the sports apocalypse in Arizona right now. I'm interested to know. Jordan Eberle is going to be checking in from Long Island. Shortly before the pause, the sports pause, the pandemic, he and his wife welcome their first.
That's exciting.
So from a family perspective, good timing for Ebs. Mm-hmm. And he'll be with us from Long Island and from TSN 1290 Winnipeg, where we really want to be on the air, right? We want TSN 1290 Winnipeg to pick us up. I'm just going to be very shameless about it. Andrew Patterson, who goes by the name Hustler, will be with us later on to hear how the pandemic is affecting the Manitoba capital. How are you this morning, Dupes?
I'm doing really good.
I like the lacrosse, the Rush lacrosse top you got on there. I like it.
Pulled it out. I mean, I've been very much in the athletic wear the whole time. The track pants every day and the comfortable shirts and stuff.
Stop hitting the microphone.
Why not, right?
Now, act like your hands are nailed to the arm of the chair.
That's impossible.
No, it's actually not because I do it all the time.
I'll try.
Hey, are you ready to go with the Elite Eight show topics of the program today? Number one, and I called this up on my laptop because I wanted to make sure I had it right. Flipped on ESPN first thing this morning, and the first thing I see from Adam Schefter is that the NFL's chief medical officer is optimistic of a full season in the National Football League. Here's what it is. You just went, eh. You rolled your eyes. Are you not believing this?
I don't know if I believe it yet or not, but I wonder how much that message, you know, comes from the league, or if it's just one guy that got interviewed, you know. And
he's a pretty big deal. He's not just a Morley boy.
But it's a little bit more of the NFL's. We're not really part of the pandemic.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean?
NFL has chosen not to participate in the pandemic.
Yeah, and you see a lot of other organizations that would hear somebody within their organization say something like that, and they would roll their eyes, and they would kind of be, now we're going to get ripped on for this because we want to make sure we're taking care of the people, but the NFL doesn't seem to care and they're doing pretty well.
Let me read this. NFL Players Association Medical Director Tom Mayer is optimistic the 2020 season will take place. However, the union and the NFL will know a lot more in late May or early June about whether playing this season is viable. Mayer discussed the coronavirus pandemic and its impact on the NFL during an appearance on Adam Schefter's podcast. The NFLPA has created a COVID-19 brain trust that includes members from Harvard, Duke, Johns Hopkins, the CDC, the White House, the State Department, and the office of Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So there was some pretty good news when I flipped on my television this morning, first thing that I saw. Point two, ESPN immediately went to Sean Payton in his kitchen having coffee. They interviewed him on Get Up This Morning and his take on that. And if when you do the math, April, May, June, July, that's 4 months away technically when they kick off in September. You could see this happening. And I guess my interesting thing about Sean Payton sitting there, working from home, having coffee like everybody else at this hour, really.
Yep.
I've long said, particularly since I got into the recovery business, that we are all connected in the world. And people say, oh, Rod, that's flaky. It's not true. What's going on right now shows that we are all connected.
Big time. Big time. And we're all in the same circumstance. I mean, you think about if you're sitting at home right now, your kitchen or your office or wherever you're set up, and if you're actually doing some work, you're in the exact same situation that Sean Payton's in,
right?
Head coach of the New Orleans Saints. We are all connected in the same way. Absolutely.
So that was just proof of that. And Payton's point, by the way, on if they go immediately to training camp, clearly there's no OTAs, organized team activities, in the National Football League, but if they go straight to training camp, he goes, it wouldn't be a first. Happened in 2011. We had a player lockout. And he goes, I wouldn't have a problem with it. He goes, the biggest problem would be with teams that have new coaching staffs. But they've been rolling
right in
New Orleans under Payton for a long time. He's not concerned. He's just sitting back, biting his lip. Point three of our Elite Eight show topics here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore is, how does that relate to the CFL? I mean, you're talking about training camp in July for the NFL versus May 17th in the CFL. We've had 24 hours since the Canadian Football League announced that they're postponing training camps. Interesting fallout from that. Some fans have literally said, "I want to panic. I'm starting to panic." Well, that's a choice. But in the last 24 hours since that announcement, what have you thought or heard with regards to the CFL's announcement that way?
You know what? I think people are a little bit concerned. They're starting to think about season tickets. You're hearing a lot about the teams. If they're only going to be half full stadiums and people forget about the league, it's really going to hurt revenues. But I don't think, you know, as a general population and as one group, that we're really concerned yet, because it's not close enough. It's not real enough yet. If it's May and we're supposed to be planning our summer days around going to training camp and doing some things, our spring days, and it's not happening, that becomes a problem. Right? If we can't go to the lake, if we can't do those things, it's going to become real. Right now, I mean, the temperatures are going below zero. There's a lot of the country that's getting snow today, or there's a lot, you know, parts that are getting snow. It's not real enough yet, but I think in the back of people's minds, they're a little
concerned. I'll tell you what, if this pandemic isn't real enough to you yet, consider yourself damn lucky. And I'm getting that to more further points here in the Elite Eight. Point four, I wrote my book review this morning on the Baltimore Stallions, The Brief Brilliant History. Over 3 days, I read that book. Obviously, I fell in love with it. It transported me mentally to Baltimore in the early 90s. But let me ask you this. We had a little bit of a talk here in our pre-show meeting with Clark and yourself. And how old are you, Ryan? 37. He's a little older than you two, but not much. Do you care about CFL history?
Yeah.
And the Stallions specifically.
I love it.
And the U.S. expansion. I just wondered if I'm alone here.
As, you know, an 87 born, and you know, the Stallions is my first memory of the CFL.
Really?
That Grey Cup in 95. Now, I have more, like earlier, little bits and pieces. I remember watching Danny McManus. The Flutie brothers were two of my favorites as a kid. But I was, when you're a kid, you're not watching even the full games. You don't have that attention span. But that game is the first one I remember. I have it on a VHS somewhere because we had a Grey Cup party. My parents sat at the house. And that 95 Grey Cup, Calgary and Baltimore. That's my first real early memory of the league. So
okay.
I like it.
I'm just glad to know that I'm not alone in my nerdism for CFL history, because, I mean, there would be no CFL currently if it wasn't for what these men and women did back in the day, and I just wondered if it was only me.
And it comes back down to when we talk about marketing players and things like that, I go back and I'm looking, and I know that Baltimore won that Grey Cup over Calgary, and Calgary had some wins, and then Toronto when Doug Flutie was there. But I don't remember which teams were good and which teams were bad. I remember Mike Pringle, and I remember Tracy Hamm, and I remember the Fluties, and I remember Dave Sapunja. I mean, you remember the names, the stars, right? You don't really remember how the teams were up and down all the time.
Well,
sometimes you do. A lot of people do, sure, but...
Sure. It's... I don't think he minds me outing him, but I... John Ryan's brother, Steve, super cool guy, very opinionated. He played for the Rams, too. And when I put a comment on Instagram about the Ravens, the Stallions, Steve wrote me and said, yeah, pretty great when you don't have to play with Canadians, which they didn't do because American antitrust law wouldn't allow them to observe the ratio. So these were 100% Americans on the team. And so 25 years later, some people haven't forgotten. So that's the funny thing. And I will just say this about the 95 Grey Cup. Here's the crappy part of it. Because I was with the Pats at the time, we had to leave. I think we rolled out of town around Thursday and went into Alberta for a road trip. So I wasn't there for the game. I was there for the start of the week, but gone for the game. I wasn't at the game. I would have loved to have been at the game. But I remember that was the start of the Ryderville gigantic site. I believe it was the Agribition building that they put it in that housed 10,000 people.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? But up until then, it had just kind of been a small thing in a ballroom at a hotel, a Grey Cup. 1995 Grey Cup was Ryderville.
And that
right?
was it.
Yeah, that's where it started, as I recall.
That's cool. That's cool. And as you said that about the American-Canadian thing, that got me thinking, too. We fall in love with the game as kids, right? Kids don't care about that stuff. As a kid, you don't even know Canadian-American ratio, where this guy came from, the politics. You don't even care about that. All you do is watch the game, fall in love with the players, and you don't care about that till you're an adult.
As I got near the end of the book, I kind of slowed down because I'm like, oh, I don't want this to end. Sort of like Tiger King, as I was watching it last night with Mrs. Peterson, and we got to the last episode, and she said, well, let's might as well watch it. I said, no, we got to save this to tomorrow. I don't want Tiger King to end.
That's where I'm at, too.
Same thing. Moving on with regards to if the pandemic isn't real yet, consider yourself, as my mom would say, GD lucky. Because layoffs announced by the Alouettes first yesterday, then the Stampeders, Flames, and Oilers. It's real to them and real to the healthcare professionals and the frontline workers and all that. So again, if it doesn't seem real, consider yourself lucky. Point six. So the NHL players are staging conference calls with only one per team per division. I like the idea in theory, but we're not getting a lot out of it. I don't know if you followed. I read the article yesterday where they interviewed Brady Tkachuk, Zdeno Chara. Can't remember who else was all on the conference call. It was video conference call. They talked about how they're staying busy, which, by the way, every athlete's the same. Working out at home, period. That's it. Good time for Peloton to launch their stationary bike and mobile remote training that way. But I mean, it's kind of silly, Darren. It was a 35-minute conference call with selected NHL players. The NHL had to vet the questions ahead of time. So it wasn't like this, interactive with our viewers like that. And one of the questions was, who's the player that you would least like to be quarantined beside? Well, what do you think the conversation devolved into?
Brad Marchand is the only guy I can think of because he's going to go around licking everybody.
No, it wasn't that. It was that's funny. But Zdeno Chara said he would least like to be with Tuukka Rask because his fart smelled too bad. And I'm like, here we go. Hockey players, you know, like it didn't. We're not going to touch on anything too serious here.
Well, or too great. It's tough because you can't control moments.
No,
you can't control. It's like trying to forecast viral content or plan it, or you know, you get to choose what goes viral and what people attach themselves to. No, it's tough because you want to vet the questions. You don't want players to say anything or commit to anything, you know, in terms of we're going to play, we're not going to play, we hate this, we like this, or you want to save them from themselves. But if you want to really promote the game, then you got to let the players be free. And if you do one conference call, everybody's getting the same scoop. It's so watered down. When you have, you know, players on this show, you get real comments, real conversations. And then when they go on the next show,
it's a different
day,
thing.
They get something that we didn't get. And that's what makes it great and keeps everybody, you know, with great content and keeps the league moving.
Right.
But so, everybody wants to control the narrative right now.
Don't they?
They just want to control the narrative. And that's the scariest thing because it's so darn scary to just put yourself out there and not be in control of the situation. But you got to take a chance.
What's the world we live in with lawsuits and so forth? Afraid of what somebody's going to say.
Yeah.
But to have four predetermined interview guests and have all the questions asked vetted ahead of time is like hunting in the zoo.
Yeah.
It's not much of a challenge.
Yeah.
Back to Joe Exotic. Point seven, just to say that we got back to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and who knows where this is going. There's a lot of theories and columns going around as to how flattened the curve is a hoax and so forth. I'm not saying I believe it or I don't, but let's just be positive and say that they're going to be back on the ice here this spring. This was just in my own mind. If they went to a best of three series, best of three all the way, would you, like, I would go along with that.
Oh, yeah.
You would? You don't even need to.
Of course.
Okay.
It'd be awesome.
Would you guys?
Yes.
Clark and Ryan, both. Yes. Everybody said, yeah, just get on the ice, boys.
Oh, it'd be.
Maybe that would be the good poll question today. Would you?
Imagine how amazing it would be when you step on the ice and it's a best of three. It'd be like game seven every night.
Right.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Okay.
It'd be so good. As a one-off. It'd be so great.
I thought that would be an unpopular question, actually. Best of three. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Best of seven's great because, you know, it lasts and it is really good. But a best of three, I mean, everything means so much more.
We have a small technical issue that nobody would know but us, and that is that the comments that come in that we normally see on our second video wall here, and if you watch my Instagram story from time to time, I'll do a behind-the-scenes tour so you see what I see. I don't see those comments coming in, so I've had to call it up on my laptop here. And there was a comment come in from Chris Hill, who used to live across the street from us in Milestone, Saskatchewan, the Hill family. He wrote me from Newfoundland. He's watching today, and he goes, I'm starting to get concerned. I've booked Grey Cup tickets. I've booked playoff tickets, hotels. This goes back to way back when we started this. If I may just say, as a mental health professional and recovery coach, you have no control over that. This isn't just to Chris. This is to everybody. Sit tight. Keep busy. Don't get caught up in the what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs. Live in the now. That's it. Because Chris and any of you that are starting to worry about these things, how long ago was it that I was on here saying, just quoting the chief medical officer of ABC, Dr. Jennifer Ashton, saying, self-assess, stick to your routine, inject humor if you can, and reach out to people. That hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, that's probably more important now than it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Fair?
Fair. It is.
I get that you're concerned about the flights and the hotels and the Grey Cup, but nobody knows. So to sit there, to see people are sitting at home, their minds are racing and wandering, causes panic, anxiety, obviously.
It does. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, in my world, and you know this, I don't take vacations.
Your life's a vacation. What would you take a vacation from?
Exactly. I'm doing everything I want to do on a daily basis. But, you know, it's not unnatural for me to want to go and spend a few days in Vegas or go to a warm destination and sit on the beach. And so you start thinking about that. And for me, that happens kind of in the springtime and maybe in the summer, you want to get away. And I was watching, actually, the Tiger King, and they do the shot over top of Vegas because they're talking about the other guy.
Looks great, doesn't it?
Jeff, yeah, it looks great. I'm like, I can't wait to go to Vegas. And I'm sitting there being like, wait a second. It's not happening anytime soon. Stop thinking about it because you're just going to be disappointed. And you just can't think about that stuff because you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
You're right. You're right. But you do got to think about something, reminds me. So to point eight of the Elite Eight show topics today, a very simple question here. What are you watching? What are people doing to fill time? I just got a notification from The Athletic. That's why I turned my phone upside down because I'm such a squirrel. I get a notification. All of a sudden my mind goes off, you know.
Yep.
From The Athletic, this is what I'm paying my subscription for. What are the best NHL players for every jersey number? Number 16, Marcel Dion or Brett Hull. Number 91, Fedorov, Tavares, or Stamkos. This is just designed to keep people busy, obviously. Trump would call it fake news. In my mind, that's my definition of fake news. Creating news to have content. I know a lot of people in the journalism industry have another definition of fake news, but that's mine. Just creating content for the sake of creating content, because you have to create content. Fair?
Fair.
And furthermore, to the question of what are you watching, Clark said nostalgia is big. People are really going back. You know, we've been asking yesterday, what was your favorite stadium you've ever been in? The clip had 5,000 views. You know, dozens upon dozens of comments from people. So they're enjoying that. But as far as filling time on the networks for old games, I'll say this. I turned on a game the other day, and it was the NFC Championship, Saints-Rams, and just the of the crowd. My heart sank immediately. It wasn't about the players on the field. It wasn't about who the announcers were or even what channel it was on. It was just the crowd. I miss it. And I think we all miss the roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
But I didn't stay on it for very long. I watched a clip of the Islanders-Oilers the other day, and I can only watch up to, I can't remember who I was talking to. Said I can only watch up to a certain point, probably mid to late 80s, and I don't care about the NHL in the 90s and the 2000s. I'm sorry. The old games aren't doing it for me. Maybe briefly to watch an inning of the Jays and the A's. That's it. I know who won.
That's it. There's two that I would maybe go back to. I go back and watch, for me, because it's just my childhood, the 02 Olympics. I've got it on a DVD. Go back and watch the gold medal game. Those are my two broadcasting icons.
Yeah.
And that's the game and all my favorite players. So I do. And that's one I can sit and watch even though I know who wins. But I'm sitting there being like, maybe I'll go watch that whole tournament. I'm like, well, I know every game that happens. Maybe I'll go watch an old Leafs Senators playoff series. It's great, good hockey, but I know who wins in the end. It's just you can't get me to sit down and stay still for that long when I know what happens.
What this thing's doing, it's exposing a lot of people in a lot of ways, too. We talked about that before the show. But from a broadcast perspective, watching John Madden call a Super Bowl color with Pat Summerall, and John Madden, you know, they're starting their game-winning drive from their own 20-yard line. Madden's like, this is what the coach is thinking here. Nobody's saying that anymore.
Nope.
In color. And I'm not going to go through who the color guys are, but when's the last time you had a coach in the booth? John Gruden, and he was the best.
And he was really good, and he did it in
He
did it in his own way. But it goes to show you, these guys, you can't just plug broadcasters from anywhere and just throw them in.
No.
It's such a...
But they're doing it.
Everybody's doing it. But it comes down, like, can you just pluck a center iceman and make him your franchise center iceman? You're going to play in the first line in the power play because we got a great system. We got a great system, and this team is so good that you're just going to score 30 goals. No, you need to have good players. That's what makes a good team and everybody working together. But, yeah, it's the broadcasters, I mean, good ones are good. Romo, people will say Romo's doing that, but he's not doing it from the coach's point of view.
Right.
He's doing it from the player's point of view.
Which is cool, too.
Which
but
cool
I'm just saying there's a really big difference. There's a really big difference in the way Madden did it.
Huge.
And the way everybody's doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to go through some of the comments here. You know what? We'll just pause and continue this after. Jack Fulton's watching from Calgary. And I appreciate, Jack, your unwavering support of this. He says, stay away from stinking thinking. As a man thinks, so he shall be. Great advice, Rod. So thank you. I mean, I get where people are going, and we're trying to provide a distraction here on a daily basis and a little bit of entertainment, but if I can help along the way too, because I've been getting asked by a lot of people, how you doing, Rod? I'm doing fine. Frankly, I went through my crisis or crises well in advance of this. So if I can be of any service to anybody, which I am to a lot of people individually, but if it's on this show, so be it. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore on the way today. NHLers Derek Morris and Jordan Eberle, and from TSN 1290 Winnipeg, Andrew Patterson. You may know him better as Hustler. We'll be back in a moment. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, coming soon to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge. And we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-backed-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for coffee this morning. Caliber Coffee, episode number 204 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. And that reminds me, Zach Nelson is watching in Calgary, and he's tweeted, "Good morning to my favorite sports talk morning show." Good morning, Zach. Hope you're staying safe. We've come up with a poll question that we're going to get to, and I'm excited to bring it to you. But first, a sports update. Red Sox starter Chris Sale had Tommy John surgery on his left elbow Monday, his 31st birthday, waiting 11 days after doctors said he needed the operation because of difficulty in scheduling during the coronavirus pandemic. Red Sox chief baseball officer Chaim Bloom said the team worked with doctors to make sure the procedure didn't burden an already stressed healthcare system. Dr. Neil Elitrash replaced Sale's ulnar collateral ligament, UCL. At the Curlin Job Institute in L.A., the Red Sox said the surgery was a success. Sale is expected to miss 14 to 15 months, which would bring him back in the middle of the 2021 season. Remind me of my Tommy John story, okay?
Yep.
Former Calgary Stampeders running back Tim Petros has died. He was just 58. In 100 games from 1984 to 1990, Petros had 2,228 career rushing yards and 18 touchdowns while adding 141 catches for 1,007 yards. Petros was Vanier Cup MVP in 1983 when he rushed for 260 yards in the Dinos' 31-21 win over Queens. And Brady Tkachuk is hunkered down with family in St. Louis trying to wait out the COVID-19 pandemic. The Ottawa Senators winger has also been keeping close tabs on a pair of teammates who tested positive for the disease. He reports they're doing well. Two of the league's four players to test positive since the season was suspended March 12th amid the novel coronavirus outbreak are unnamed members of the Senators. The team played in San Jose against the Sharks March 7th despite a warning from officials in Santa Clara County against holding large public gatherings. That seems like a year ago.
Yeah, it does.
The Colorado Avalanche played at SAP Center the next night, and two members of that team have also since tested positive for COVID-19. Brady Tkachuk made his comments on that NHL-sanctioned conference call on Monday. That is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, closed temporarily. And for Red Bull Canada, thanks to Red Bull Canada for jumping on board the RP show. Watch out for the Red Bull Wings team to make an appearance at some of the RP show on-location events this summer. Red Bull is launching a new Peach Edition, which is exclusively available now at 7-Eleven and Loblaws, Superstore, and No Frills. What were
Tommy
you supposed
John.
To? Thank you. I was going to catch you on the Tommy John story. Yep. It came up in my Facebook on Sunday, memories, 10 years ago Sunday, I met Tommy John and we spoke at the Red Sox dinner. And not surprisingly, we clicked. And so the Red Sox picked Tommy John up at the airport, dropped him off at his hotel. And they, I won't say which hotel it was, but the Red Sox people said to him, "Listen, if you're going to go out for a walk or something, just go out the front doors and go straight. Don't go behind." And he goes, "Well, what's behind?" "Well, nefarious activities, red light district, you know, bad news kind of stuff." And Tommy John goes, "Maybe I like bad news kind of stuff." And we had such a great time. I said to him, "What's it like to have a surgery named after you?" And he said, "Well, at least it was for your elbow. Can you imagine if it was rectal surgery?" He was that kind of guy. Yeah. And by the way, little known fact about Tommy John, most wins for any starting pitcher, not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He'll remind you of that.
Yeah, he'll be the first one to tell you.
20 times a day.
That's awesome. The guys are entertaining.
Yes.
When you get them outside of the bubble that they're in professional sports. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Tommy, that's my Tommy John story. There are more, but I will digress. What's happening with Derek Morris? I was going to call up his hockey DB.
Working on getting connected.
Working on it, they tell me. My favorite term in live broadcasting. We're working on it.
Just keep going.
Right. Just tap dance. So our write-in poll today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. We're not going to ask you to vote on anything, We're asking you, what's your favorite all-time sports movie? And I just tweeted it from our Twitter account, at Rod Peterson Show. I did the tweet, so I put a photo of the Hansons.
Yep.
From the movie Slapshot, of course. That is my favorite. You asked me, what's your favorite movie?
Yep.
I've seen it probably close to 100 times, maybe over 100 times. I'm not sure. And while we're sitting here and I'm tap dancing, I'll never forget our principal at school, Mr. Bob Reist, said to me, why do you watch that movie Slapshot? I've seen it three times. It's the dumbest movie I've ever seen. It's terrible. I went home and told my dad. My dad goes, if he hated it so much, why do you watch it three times?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. This guy's watched it.
Watch it three times. It's horrible.
Yeah, no. He likes it. It doesn't matter if it's a good cinematic masterpiece. It's about what you enjoy, right?
Right.
That's what's important when it comes to sports. Yeah, that's funny.
Well, then the lines come up so often.
We
were talking about a guy the other day, but most folk heroes started out as criminals. I was talking about Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
You know, I said, this guy's a folk hero. And people said, he's in jail. I said, well, most folk heroes started out as criminals. You remember that line, right?
Yep.
What's your favorite?
We got a lot of losses.
Yeah, we got a lot of losses.
Remember the Titans.
That's very good. Yeah.
Yep. As a kid, that was it. I could probably quote every line in that whole movie, which is...
And we blitz like all night.
Literally, I watched it so many times as a kid that it would start and I would just start reading the lines. And for 2 hours, I could read every line in the movie. There's only a couple of movies like that, but that's one of them. And it'll always go down as one of my favorites. But I like them all. I mean, all the sports movies. Invincible's a good one. Joe Papali, that story with Mark Wahlberg. I like The Rookie, Dennis Quaid, the Mighty Ducks movies. There's lots of good movies out there. And Slapshots.
Okay, now that history, I sit too. Here saying this, and I think Christopher Hill, that milestone expatriate, now living in Newfoundland, he's still watching. He goes, didn't you idolize Dickie Dunn? Well, of course I did. That was my nickname as a teenager, Dickie Dunn.
Really?
And, you know, as they used to say around Milestone, well, Dickie Dunn wrote it. It's got to be true. That echoes in my head all the time. Dickie Dunn wrote it. It's got to be true. There's a lot of shysters down in Florida. Like, every single day, the lines from that movie are coming up in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going through, people were still hung up as I'm reading the Facebook comments on yesterday's, not poll question, but writing question or whatever. What's the favorite stadium that you were ever on? People have ever been in. People didn't get enough talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What's happening with Derek Morris?
I think he's close.
He's close, says Clark. Oh, he can't see. Clark's over here. See, we're camping like everybody else.
It is.
Out of sorts.
Yeah. How's breakfast coming? I don't know. The stove doesn't tell me when the timer goes off.
Exactly.
We're going by feel here.
Michael Gregory watching in New Orleans says, favorite football movie, Remember the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
True story, right? That always helps.
Oh, yeah.
Slapshot based on a true story, but how could that possibly be true?
I'm going real one.
Bull Durham, people are writing in. Brad Hersina, our Army friend. Favorite movie, Remember the Titans? Holy smokes. I guess if we had a poll, they would. I would think Slapshot would win over Remember the Titans.
Whoa, we might have a poll question.
Yeah.
I would think it would, too. I would guess it would win.
Randy in Cochrane, Alberta writes, Paper Lion is a good movie. Got some votes in here for Mighty Ducks.
Yep.
Which was good.
Oh,
but
yeah. It was great as a kid. And I'll go back and watch them, and it's fun nostalgia. But, yeah, it's not in terms of the really great make you feel. I mean, they're good, but I don't know.
Pat McKetta watching in Winnipeg, our good friend Pat. She is a big supporter of the show. Hey, Pat, put the pressure on TSN 1290 in Winnipeg. Tell them to carry our show if you don't mind, Pat.
Feel free to start a petition.
Start a petition. She writes, favorite hockey movie that few have seen, Mystery Alaska. You have to see it.
Oh.
Saw it.
Yeah.
Saw it.
I want to watch that again.
Seen them all. As a matter of fact, look, you have to understand, folks, I'm killing time telling stories, awaiting Derek Morris joining us from Arizona. I've seen pretty much every sports movie ever made from 17 years in the Western Hockey League. There's a lot of guys that have lasted a lot longer than me. A lot of guys not as long. But we ran out of movies. We regularly run out of movies. I was always the movie guy. Remember the plastic DVD holder that you would have that opened like an accordion?
Yep.
I was always the guy that would bring the movies. And, you know, Miracle.
Yep.
USA Hockey.
That's...
We were on a long road trip one time. We watched that show. And when it was over, Curtis Hunt stood up. He was the coach. And he says, play it again. But we just watched it, Curtis. I don't care. Play it again. So we did. So we watched the 4 hours taken care of on the road trip right there. But one of the DVDs that I had was George Strait live in concert from the Houston Astrodome, which quite frankly, I liked. But we'd gone through all the movies in my case. So we put on George Strait live from the Astrodome. We're watching it at the front of the bus. And I'll never forget our captain, Andrew D'Souza, comes up to the front of the bus, leans on the rack. You know how they...
Yep.
And he's like, Hunsy, can we turn off this music, this country music? The guys are getting a headache. So we shut it off. The players didn't like,
I guess,
George Strait live from the Houston Astrodome.
And there would have been no plugging your smartphone or iPad and headphones in and forget about it.
No. No. So
this would have been screens every four seats, right?
So I appreciate you folks writing in with your suggestions. I probably got stories on every single movie. I do remember Old School. Loved that movie.
Yep.
Luke Wilson, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell.
Yep.
And I remember when it was new, the guy, players, as they were coming off the bus going, which one are you, Roddy? Because I did live a life similar to the guys in that movie. Metal Shingle Guy writes in and says, any given Sunday, Rudy, Talladega Nights.
There's some
three,
good ones.
Three winners right
oh,
there.
Oh, man, there is some good ones.
If you're not first, you're last.
Yep.
By the way, when we'll probably take a break here and come back with Derek Morris. Oh, we got him.
No.
We're going to take a break. I'm just going to read you Derek's intro before we get to it. He's from Sylvan Lake, Alberta. Played just two seasons with the Regina Pats, 95-97, but was a first-round pick of the Calgary Flames and broke in with the Flames in 97-98 as an 18-year-old. Went on to play 1,107 NHL games.
Wow.
And that was with the Flames, the Colorado Avalanche, the Phoenix Coyotes, Rangers, Bruins, and then the Coyotes again. Known affectionately as Mo. He's got some stories. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, load up a few questions for Mo, if you don't mind. Retired NHLer are going to join us here. Because I remember one time asking him, I said, who was the hardest guy to defend in the NHL? Because he was a right defenseman. He said, Mike Modano and Jaromir Jagr. Because they just had another speed when they turned on the Jets, right? The afterburners.
Two good ones.
You think you got them and gone. So those kinds of questions, folks. When we come back, we hope to have Derek Morris from Arizona. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Tuesday morning, episode 204. Canada's morning sports talk show continues after this. Facebook Live coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, We service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Tuesday morning, March the 31st, just ahead of Derek Morris. People writing in through a variety of ways with their favorite movies, sports movies. Joe Lazito is watching on Long Island, Darren.
Okay.
He's broken it down into categories. He says hockey, slapshot, baseball, major league, football, the program, and basketball, none. I wouldn't go that far.
Space Jam.
Also, what's the one out right now? The Way Back.
Hoosiers?
With Ben Affleck. Right now, The Way Back. You saw it.
Yeah, it was great.
Great basketball movie. Coach Carter.
Coach Carter.
Hoosier, come on,
Hoosiers,
Joe.
Hoosiers with Gene Hackman.
Come on, Joe. Be better.
I liked Major League. You said that. I love him in the broadcast booth, cracking the two sticks together. He's got the mitt, you know, like
off the reservation.
Exactly.
By the way, Mo, I'm sorry. Just hang on. Joe Lazito, you'll be happy to know. John Lynch called me last night, all in a fervor. And my wife said that I was too strict and harsh with him on the phone when I hung up. But Lynch will be on the air on Friday. He just can't handle not being on the air. And we've worked out some sort of technical advancement, technological advancement that will have him on the air. So the 82-year-old Hall of Fame Rough Rider broadcaster will be with us on Friday, Joe. So you can thank your lucky stars for that. So we're going to Arizona now. Lord willing that the video chat works. We got Derek Morris with us. I just mentioned 1,107 games in the National Hockey League, and there he is. Hey, Mo, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Do you guys hear me?
We hear you 100%. You sound great. You look great. How are things in Arizona?
Well, they're good. Weather's nice, but we're obviously under the same standards as everybody else with the quarantine and stuff. So it's a little bit different, but...
You're making do. Yeah. Well, can you talk about... Did it freeze? No, it's good. It's good, Mo. If it freezes, we're going to hang up and we're going to call you. So have your phone handy if you don't mind. But if you don't mind, I don't know when's the last time you and I talked. What's life been like since you hung him up from the National Hockey League? I just read your stats here. It's been a while since 2014. Yeah. What have you been doing?
Well, I never thought I'd be doing it, but I started coaching you. So I jumped right in with my boys being involved in it. And started with my older boy, my oldest, my middle one, and now I'm somewhat coaching my youngest one. So I'm in the youth hockey world.
Well, so are they playing out of the ice den, Derek, or where are you guys located at?
Yeah, out of Scottsdale, where I used to be, but the newest one, I'm at them out in ice den Chandler. With it's been a lot of
Okay, hang on. We got to go to the phone. I'm not interested in tap dancing. Hey, we're going to call you, Mo. I'm not interested in tap dancing like I did the other day. Would you? Hell, I've been dancing enough since 10:30. And there goes Clark right across the screen. So we're going to call him. Good. So I will have to mention this when we get Derek on the phone again here, but our kids were born on the exact same day.
Wow.
And March 23rd, 2000. And his son was named Trayton. So obviously one of those guys. Interesting, by the way, when I was in Las Vegas in February, I watched the Dallas Junior Stars play, and a bunch of them ended up going in the WHL draft.
Yeah.
To the Warriors and the Pats.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, too, that they were thanking Jim Neal for calling them and congratulating them.
They're calling, yeah, Jim Neal and the Dallas Stars are calling and congratulating these players for getting selected by the Moose Jaw Warriors and
the Pats too.
And the Pats and, you know, in the Western Hockey League. That's really exciting that, you know, you've got a league way down in the southern United States that's, you know, or teams that are that excited about, you know, those players going all the way up to Canada. You think it's just a dream for players in Western Canada to play in the Western Hockey League, but it's not. I mean, it's all over North America.
Okay, Mo, we're ready to go. And I was just telling the story to the viewers about our children being born on the exact same day. I never forgot that. But can you speak about the state of minor hockey in Arizona? A lot of kids coming out the pipeline, isn't there?
Yeah, you know what? We've been very fortunate that the numbers have grown like crazy here in the last little while. Obviously, having the Coyotes organization in the program in the city, teams seem to grow and the youth program's growing. Hockey's a wonderful sport, as we know, and people here are seeing that through the Coyotes, and then it's trickling down to youth hockey. So we got a really good group of coaches across the valley. A lot of pro guys that have played before that are doing it, to give back what we learned. So the kids get good coaches.
Did we lose him again?
Are you still with us, Derek? You cut out when you said the kids get good coaching. I'm telling you what, this is not my day.
No.
And we were just getting to the heart of the good stuff. Call him back, Jordan. Welcome to live broadcasting, everybody. And you think your life sucks? Oh, I've just burst into an immediate sweat.
Yeah. That's the world of live broadcasting. I mean, how is the phone line getting affected now? Like, that's supposed to be the most secure way of all time where it's locked down and there's no issues whatsoever. But you know what? That stuff happens and people are, you know, dealing with that. I was watching ESPN the other day, and who's the girl in the middle of
Molly Queer.
Stephen A. and Max. Yeah. So she's sitting there and they're going back and forth, and she's supposed to be moderating, right? And she's, you know, always yells them to shut up, or she takes over and goes to a break or switches the conversation, but she froze. Her video froze from home.
So they're just
and so Stephen A. took the opportunity just to keep going, and Max is wondering, like, why are you not cutting him off? And she's frozen.
Oh, man.
It was pretty funny. But
Do we got Derek back? All right, Jordan says, give me 2 seconds. Holy smokes. I hope you're enjoying it, everybody. I know it's highly entertaining.
That's part of the live thing, but I was just dying. She's frozen, and they're just going back and forth.
All right, so away we go. We got Derek Morris on the line again from Arizona. By the way, Mo, are you physically in Chandler or Scottsdale at the moment? Where are you at?
I live in Scottsdale, but I coach out in Chandler. So it's about a 40-minute drive each day there and back.
All right, so you were talking about the former NHLers that are coaching or former hockey pros with the minor hockey system there in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area. Who are the guys that are coaching with you?
Well, when I started, like in 2013, there was a pile of us doing it, but obviously guys have moved on and off. Right now we're down to, we might have four or five left right now. And our organization is all I could really speak for, but right now we have Brent Goff, who coached for the West Kelowna Warriors in the BC Junior Hockey League, and his life took him out here with his wife and everything, so he's an excellent coach. We got Pat Conacher's younger son.
Don't.
Like, did the coronavirus eat up all the phone lines in Arizona? What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
We've never had these problems before.
Never. Never. This is the most bizarre.
And we're sitting here hanging on his every word.
Yeah.
Or at least I am anyways.
I am too. Pat Conacher's kid? Like, that's cool. Oh, wow.
Well, Pat Conacher, who scored the Stanley Cup clinching goal for the Edmonton Oilers, who once told me, you will never regret choosing family over career. You'll never forget that. One night at the Lancaster. It was long night, as Johnny Athens would say. So we're going to call him back, right, Clark? We're going to try one more time with Derek Morris. I don't know what is going on. This is a first. Mark it down, folks. Episode 204, the phones went insane.
Yeah.
The day the phones went dark. So, as I sit here, I'll read our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. It is a write-in poll today. Your favorite sports movies of all time. I'm seeing, like you said, a two-horse race between Slapshot and Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Moneyball fans out there.
Ooh, Moneyball's good. Moneyball is really good. Do you call Two for the Money a sports movie?
Oh, I love that one.
I love that movie too. Pacino.
Matthew McConaughey and Al Pacino.
Yeah, that's so good. John Anthony. With your picks.
If it's going to take you inside, like it takes you inside sports betting in Vegas how they set the odds, right?
And not just that, you know, you think that the sports books are big in Vegas or like, you know, you filling out a ballot is big. But then it's the offshore guys who are taking the same advice, right? Like the big boss guy up in his penthouse suite and his shirt's three buttons open and he's got the big gold chains and he's doing the multi-million dollar bets and they're hanging on John Anthony's every pick. It's a highly entertaining movie.
Okay, Mo, we got you back and we're going to try it one more time. If this doesn't work, we'll let you go for the day. But let me ask you this. With the current state of the NHL amid the coronavirus, how close are you following things? Are you glad that you're retired and not have to worry about it? And what do you see happening in the next 4 to 8 weeks, per se? Just a wild prediction.
That is a good question. I think the season, honestly, I would be surprised if it's going to be started up based on, if you look at Canada's structure in how they've handled the coronavirus, and you look at the United States, they're handling them differently. So right now we're quarantined in the United States here till April 30th, and then it'll be opened up, I supposedly, after that. So that doesn't give much time for a season, that's for sure. I hope there is, because I'm missing watching hockey. The biggest thing I've noticed with being locked home is missing sports.
You know, how many Coyotes games do you get to on a regular basis?
Probably each year I probably only do three or four. Most of the time I'm coaching, so I end up being, the times don't really match up, and we end up being out at the rink when the games are on. So I try to catch most of them on TV.
In a perfect world, Mo, if they got back to playing, finished the regular season, we talked about this earlier, would a best of three setup each round be sufficient for you to preserve the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Every round or?
Yeah, every round.
Start to finish? Yeah, you know what? I didn't think that far across. I thought they'd have to for sure shorten the first round, you know, to a three-gamer, then maybe go five, then maybe go seven for the Stanley Cup. I don't know. That's a really good question. I know that's a lot of money out of the owner's pockets, but if they were willing to do something like that, I would take that over nothing, that's for sure.
And I think that's what they're looking at. Derek, I once asked you, who was the toughest guy to defend in the NHL as a defenseman, and you played 1,107 games, not including playoffs. I'm going to ask you that now that you've been out long enough, six seasons now, who was the toughest guy to stop coming down on you in the National Hockey League?
You know what, it kind of went through phases. I'd probably say when I started, when I was in Calgary, it was back in the day, Dallas was really strong, so Mike Modano had exceptional speed coming down the outside. Jager was one of the best back in the day. If you look at today's game, Crosby was extremely hard. I never played against McDavid, but Crosby, when the new rules started, was smart. He'd put the puck in the defenseman's feet and then just skate around the other side and get it from you if you dared look down and stuff. They're just very, he was extremely strong in the corners. He controlled the game along the boards. You know, I think that's why he's still, in my opinion, probably one of the, if not the best player in the NHL, all-around player in the NHL still. So Crosby right now.
Mo, I just got to say, you just proved my memory. He just nailed the two guys that I said, Modano and Jager, that you told me years ago, 20 years ago. Anyways, go ahead.
No, that's it. I was going to say, that's how you know it's real, because exactly. It's consistent when right. You talk about those two guys.
Yeah. What do you got for him?
Well, In terms of coaching the kids, you know, in Arizona, which I love that you're doing that now, Derek, how much has the game grown in that state and, you know, across what you've seen in some of these non-traditional hockey markets in the United States? Because it just seems like it continues to grow and grow and grow every day.
Yeah, we definitely do. I think our biggest strength probably in Arizona right now is our double-A hockey. As we get to like 16, 17, 18, our triple-A teams are competitive. We have good players on there, but we're finding a lot of players can come out of state and play here too. You know, for example, if a kid in Canada is not, it's not working out, you can come in and billet in Arizona and play triple-A hockey. So the leagues that we play in are very good. The Tier 1 Elite League for the Coyotes team plays there, and then our program plays in the NAPHL, which is a big North American Prospects Hockey League. And so there are ways to – what these leagues have done is, like the NAPHL has generated – a youth hockey program or league there, and they also have the NAHL, so they really try to promote kids from throughout the league and put them into the NAHL, the North American Hockey League. So the ways of getting there are different here probably than Canada, but they're a little bit, maybe I can't really speak for Canada, but for here, from what I've seen, they're more advanced ways and easier ways, maybe not easier but more productive ways to get kids to junior than Canada.
Derek, forgive me if I missed it. What are the ages of the kids you are coaching yourself?
This year, I've coached everywhere. I coached 18 AAA. I coached 16 AAA. I coached 13, 14 AA, 15, 16 AA. And now I'm coaching. Last year, I coached U12 AAA.
So what are these kids? They're obviously aspiring to the National Hockey League, but what do you see coming up? Is Canada going to be in trouble at the World Juniors and the Olympics and so forth moving ahead? What's the numbers like in terms of international hockey, and where is America compared to the other countries?
Oof, that's a good question. I know what we do what they do in the United States is they have the U.S. National Development Program team, and they take the top kids that are 16, 17, I believe they are. And they put the top 24, whatever, on this team for 2 years, and they play in the junior leagues and stuff. So as you saw 2 years ago in the draft, I think there was 17 kids or something off of that team that were American that got drafted to the NHL. So I feel, honestly, that it's a little bit misleading. I still am Canadian at heart, and I still believe Canada puts out the most and probably best players with the large amount that you have playing and the large amount that they're putting out. I don't see USA Hockey taking it away from Canada, but what USA Hockey is doing now is very proactive. They're very advanced on developing kids. You know, our USA Hockey, when we sign up in Canada, you have to buy all your lessons or whatever you need to do, I believe, through the Canadian Hockey. But in USA, they have an app. When you sign up, you get oodles of information. So I think what they're doing is informing coaches more here because they had to, and they're seeing that maybe we're getting a few more players now than we have in the past. But USA Hockey has pushed hard at developing children. So I think the models might be different, and that might be why you're seeing a few more Americans than we have in the past. And plus, hockey's obviously evolved hugely in the United States as to when I was playing as a youth kid, or maybe you were playing, Rod, or whoever else. We barely heard of an American kid playing in the NHL or in junior. Now you're hearing them all the time. It's just because hockey's growing. It's a wonderful sport.
There were like two when I was a kid, Neil Broughton and Joel Mullen. That's about it. And Derek, last one for you. How close are you following the Regina Pats? Don't know if you heard, they just won the Bantam Draft Lottery last week. And we've got this exceptional player status kid, Connor Bedard, first ever in Western Canadian history to get exceptional player status. And as you probably know, in the OHL, John Tavares and Connor McDavid are the others. And there's a few others than that. But are you following the Pats at all? Because you know what? It's been a pretty good week for your former team.
I didn't catch the draft. I have a close friend that was coaching in Kelowna in the BCJ last year, and he had mentioned that Bedard kid to me and said that the Pats got the first overall pick on him. I guess he's a special, special player. I haven't had an opportunity to see him. But from what I've heard, this, you know, these kids come around once in a lifetime, and I think there's no better organization from when I was in with the Pats to bring a player in. It's a wonderful city. I still talk to my friends, and everybody always asks you, what's your favorite part of playing hockey? It was playing in Regina with the Pats. We had a wonderful group of kids, and if they're creating that atmosphere, which it looks like they are from what I've been following on Twitter and everything about the guys, this kid's going to do something special, and I hope that it gives them the Memorial Cup that I was unfortunate to win there. So I think it can change the whole dynamic of the program with one kid. That's how strong this is for this program if this kid is what is believed to be. And I don't think you get exceptional status in hockey unless you are that type of player. So I think he'll change that whole entire dynamic and put them on the right road to winning a Memorial Cup here.
There's no doubt. They are doing the right things, and I just love them so much. From our producer, one more question, Mo. He wants to know, Clark wants to know, who was your favorite D partner throughout your career?
Oh, man. I was very fortunate. I played with some great ones. I when I came to Phoenix in 04, I believe it was, don't quote my memory, but in 04, I had an opportunity to start playing with younger kids. So I played with a kid like Keith Ballard for a few years who went on to Florida. And then I ended up having an opportunity to play with Keith Yandel. And Keith Yandel and I played on and off for 6 or 7 years together, mostly on. And he was probably one of the easiest defensemen I ever had to play with. I don't know if we thought the same or we just understood the game the same way, but every time I'd get the puck, I knew where he was, or if he got the puck, he knew where I was. And the key to being a good defenseman, and I believe lasting a long time in what you do in your sport, is how do you play with your partner? It's not what you do on your own. You're going to have those automatically, but it's what you do with your partner. And playing with Keith Yandel, I knew if I was a defenseman on a neutral zone regroup that I could hold the puck, bring that forward over to me just where it was out of his reach, and then give it to Keith and activate him offensively. So we always had ways of thinking the same way. So I feel, obviously I don't really have a favorite, but if I looked at one player that if I had an opportunity to play with my whole life, I'd probably pick Keith Yandel.
Derek, this interview has been a long time coming, but it's been outstanding. I appreciate the time. Thanks for all your support. And you know, next time through Arizona, I'm going to be looking you up.
Yeah, please do. I'd love to catch up. I think I was looking back at the other day, and I think I'm 95, 96 was my first year in Regina, then 96, 97 was my second. So it's been 23 years there, big fella.
I know, far too long. Thank you, Derek. Hey, enjoy the rest of your day down there in Scottsdale.
I will. Thanks.
Derek Morris joining us today from my favorite state.
I'm so glad we persevered to make
it. Oh, yeah. It was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan is sweating. He's going to pull a sweat on the back, on the other side of this wall. Good job, Jordan.
Hey.
For getting Derek Morris on the air was worth the wait. Coming up in hour two, Jordan Eberle and Andrew Patterson. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back. It is the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live. Coming soon to Game Plus TV Network and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.